listening to the True Idaho News Podcast. Unfiltered news and opinion for the citizens of Idaho.
Well, hello and welcome to the True Idaho News Podcast. This is Daniel Bobinski today, flying solo, talking about issues in the news from a Judeo-Christian perspective, which is my custom. I'm talking today mostly about the baby Cyrus situation. I've got a whole bunch of stuff in front of me today. I'm going to be reviewing some of it, talking with you and giving you my perspective, as well as sharing some letters that people have published, some comments that people have made about this situation that I think everybody needs to know, because we are in danger of losing our society to a organization that has no restrictions, that is Child Protective Service. And the police have joined right alongside them and really overstepped what I will call moral and ethical boundaries. What's really sad is we have police chiefs and sheriffs who are saying, hey, our police did nothing wrong. I would beg to differ. With that, I do need to tell you that we are sponsored by multiple people in our triple diamond sponsorships. We have Tom Lopak from Picture Perfect Window Cleaning. We have Mike Hahn from the real estate office where he can help you out with that. And we have Mr. Brian Hay with Computers Repair. These people are all triple diamond sponsors. If you would like your business mentioned on our show, simply go to trueidahonews.com/support and click on the triple diamond sponsors. If you're a triple diamond sponsor, you get a mention on the show. And we're very much appreciative of our sponsors for that. I'll be giving them shout outs as we go throughout the show. I want to go right to this situation, though, with baby Cyrus. You've probably heard about it, although I've talked with some folks who are kind of, you know, still wondering what's going on with all this. The thing is that we have people who stood up and made a noise, and I would argue too much noise, but I'll tell you this, if they didn't make any noise, we would have had a continuation of deep state operations in the state, and a baby would be separated from his mother and possibly in medical danger based on what we're observing. I'm going to kind of give you an overview, and for those of you who are familiar with the story, bear with me. But last week, we had a baby belonging to the daughter of Diego Rodriguez. Diego Rodriguez happens to be the media guy for the Ammon Bundy campaign. The Ammon Bundy campaign and the media department was doing a pretty good job of slamming Brad Little. And so one does have to wonder in the back of one's mind, was this politically motivated? But even if it wasn't, I want to go over these events and you're going to go, oh my gosh, that really happened. So what happened was we had a sick baby and the mom took the baby to the hospital because she cares about her baby. Well, now what happens at a hospital? Let's just think this through for a second. You stick a baby who's underweight, throwing up from eating regular food, only dealing with breast milk, and having a tough time maintaining kind of weight. So what does the hospital do? These are allopathic doctors. They stick a needle in the baby. They give saline solution, give the baby nutrients. Baby gains a pound or two. Baby looks to be doing well. And so they send the baby home. Well, what happens during checkout? If you're a doctor or a nurse and you have paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for your medical degree, and now we've got the deep state doing their thing with this COVID baloney, and doctors are being threatened if they don't comply with the World Health Organization's edicts, they've learned to follow the rules, even if it goes against their ethical standards. Well, you've got this organization called Child Protective Services, and they have their own set of policies for what they do. And if you don't follow their policies, you can lose your license if you're a medical professional or a healthcare professional of any kind. But I don't not know this for sure, but I'm going to conjecture that somewhere in the paperwork, when mom checked out baby Cyrus from the hospital, there was probably some form, some small little fine print that said, if there's any questions about your baby, Child Protective Services will look into it. And mom probably didn't even read that. They here, sign this, sign this, sign this. Check out your baby. You want to get your baby, you can go home. So you just sign whatever they're putting in front of you. I don't know this for sure, but I would want to investigate whether or not the hospital has such a form that enables Child Protective Services to step in. And so mom probably signed something like that. I wouldn't put it past them, which then maybe unknowingly gave CPS the right to interfere with the situation. So mom goes home, right? And there's probably a follow-up with these different doctors. And of course, this is a family that cares about their health. So they have this other person, this nurse practitioner, and mom is supposed to bring this child in for a weigh-in. And mom's not feeling very good and calls in sick and says, hey, not doing so great. Not going to bring the baby in today. So doctor, so we say nurse practitioner with a PhD, makes a phone call, CPS, right? And like, apparently dad was supposed to take the child into someplace. CPS calls dad and says, hey, you need to bring baby Cyrus to this particular clinic. And so dad, not thinking much, goes, oh, okay, sure. But then wise dad pulls up the name of the clinic online and realizes that this clinic is for victims. Now, I want you to think about that. Here's CPS calls and says, take the baby to this clinic. This is a clinic for victims. And if you are going to take your baby to such a clinic, the government could easily argue that you are admitting that your child is a victim. So really, darned if you do, darned if you don't. If you take the baby in, you're saying to the government, yes, my child's a victim. If you don't go, well, then you're guilty of not following the CPS order. That's apparently what happened. Dad probably did not call back and said, no, I'm not taking my child to that particular clinic. And CPS goes, red flag, child endangerment, blah, blah, blah. And they send the cops out. The cops go, according to my understanding, the cops go up, knock on the door, and the parents, in my opinion, wisely, are not letting the police into their house. Don't trust them anymore. Sorry, don't. I'm not anti-cop. My father was a police officer for 28 years. He was a cop when I was born. He was a cop when I left to go to the Navy. He was a cop my whole time growing up. I love my dad. Great cop, right? And I don't have anything against policemen, but I do have something against policemen who have heavy badges, who think that they're God's gift to enforcing laws, even ones that they make up, that they are the law. So I think it was probably wise to not let the police into the house. Police go back then and they get a search warrant. And they come back, they get a warrant to enter the house, and there's nobody there. So they put out an APB, looking out for the vehicles, all points Billiton, again, the lookout. Garden City finds the car belonging to the dad. They call the Meridian Police. All these cops show up and they're all got their, you know, their bulletproof vests on, and they're going to protect themselves and capture this baby and save this baby because this baby's under danger. Without looking into anything, they just believe that Child Protective Service is telling them the truth. Folks, I'm telling you, I believe this system of laws that have been established are unconstitutional. They've been set with the greatest of intentions, but the legislature has delegated this responsibility to the executive branch, who then delegates the authority to the CPS, and they are cops, they are the jury, they're the executioners, they're everything. And that needs to stop. There needs to be more of a coordinated effort in this, because they pull over this car, they yank the dad out, they arrest him, charge him with child endangerment, and then now the sister, not the mom, the sister's in the front seat, mom's in the back seat with the baby. And the cops are yelling at the sister to get out of the car. And she's saying, what crime did I commit? Very wisely, what crime? It, by law, cops have to tell you, if they're gonna arrest you, they have to tell you why they're arresting you. They can't just arrest you. This is not Soviet Russia, at least not yet. So you have mom in the back seat with the baby, sister in the front seat, they yank the sister out of the car, they cuff her, they're going to charge her with felony child endangerment, resisting arrest, blah, 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 blah. They finally realize, oops, we got the wrong woman. So false arrests. Then they go back to the back seat and they find the mama with the baby. What's really weird Because when you watch this video online, you see this old gray-haired cop, and he's yelling at what he thinks is the mom, "Get out of the car!" And then when he comes back to the mom, he's all soft and talking soft. "We got to take your baby to the hospital. I'm here to take your baby. We're concerned about the baby." And the mom doesn't want to go. She goes, "Can I take my baby with me?" And the cop says, "Yes, you can go to the hospital with your baby." I want to stop right here and say liar, L-I-A-R, liar, underscore, 18 point, bold Helvetica, liar. This police officer lied to the mom. He knew darn well that baby was going to be taken from the mom. He lied to the mom because we have it all on videotape. He says it. They get the mom out of the car. They pat her down. They check her for weapons. They check the diaper bag for weapons. They check the baby for weapons. There's no weapons. And they tell, okay, you're going to go to the ambulance, and then you can go down to the hospital with your baby. So they wait. And while they're standing there in the parking lot of the gas station, she wisely is still live streaming. And you can see this one cop standing there. And later in the ambulance, this same cop comes in and he says, okay, so you need to give me your baby. And we're going to go to take him down to the hospital. And the mom says, "Wait a minute. I was told that I can go with my baby to the hospital." And I want to step in and say, "Well, that makes all the sense in the world. You've got the baby. The mother's obviously holding and caring for the baby, not damaging or hurting the baby. If you want to separate her from the baby, okay, great. We're going to hold the baby here. You can ride with us, whatever." But they're going to say, "No, you can't go." In fact, the cop says, "You can leave the baby with us and go on your merry way." What kind of asinine cop says that to a mother? That just infuriated me. "I'm going to take your baby and you go on your merry way." How would we like to go over to that cop's house and say, "We're going to take your child and you can just go on your merry life"? What an asinine comment. That cop should be relieved of duty, put on desk duty, and never allowed to interact with the public again. You don't tell a mom, "I'm going to take your baby and you go on your merry way." I am infuriated with that comment, in case you can't tell. And so they arrest the mom because she says, "No, I was told I can go to the hospital." They arrest her and they pat her down again. Now, there's a good ending to this story, by the way, but there's a lot in between. But I will tell you before I go any further that the baby has been returned to the parents, but not before there was a lot of stuff going on. They went down to the hospital. Of course, there's some other protests going on. And you know what? I am not always in favor of the method of protest. I'm not a big fan of going down there and getting yourself arrested, blah, 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 blah. But if there was no protest, if they didn't make a scene, then that baby would not have been returned to the mother. And I will tell you on a side note that Senator Penny Ann Lodge has introduced legislation to make protesting illegal in Idaho. Does Patty Ann Lodge think that we live in the Soviet Union? Does she not understand the First Amendment to the Constitution? Patty Ann Lodge, are you listening? Are you that ignorant? Are you that stupid to not know the history of this country? Patty Ann Lodge, are you listening? Are you that ignorant of our Constitution? We have the right to protest. Sorry, Patty. I'm so glad that you are not going to be in the Senate next year, that you're retiring. It is so good to see you go away. My gosh, how stupid can you get? Anyways, Frontline News, Frontline Doctors Association, Frontline, they sent a letter to the director of health and welfare for the state of Idaho, Dave Jeppesen, appointed by little Brad. This guy, Dave Jeppesen, is not a scientist. He's not a healthcare specialist. He's a marketing guy. He was the executive vice president of marketing for Blue Cross. And he is the head of our Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. And so they sent this letter and they posed some great questions to which Jeppesen did not respond. However, they said, "Dear sir, we request that you will share with us any comments that you would like to make about this case. Specifically, is there any evidence in his medical records or elsewhere of abuse, endangerment, or neglect? Or is it just the mere fact that he's underweight? Health and welfare was identified Did you know that they health and welfare contacted a family to be a foster family before the baby was even taken by the police? There ought to be some kind of investigation. If we're going to take your baby to make sure it's okay and take it to the hospital, why have you already identified a foster family unless you have intention of taking the baby away from the parents? This is not an investigation to find out if your baby is okay. This is, we're taking your baby because we don't think you're taking good care of it, with no looking into the extenuating circumstances. The family, by the way, gathered a bunch of people, went around the hospital, and the hospital said it was unsafe to discharge the baby to the foster family in an unsafe environment, so they transferred the baby to Boise for further care. Really? This is all about the baby's health when you're going to discharge it immediately to a foster family? Question number four from the frontline doctors. Is that an accurate reflection of the hospital records? Then why didn't the fact that Cyrus was healthy enough for discharge indicate to your agency that he was not in a dangerous situation? Great question. Here's a transcript from St. Luke's on March 15th. We have not identified any serious medical condition that is causing him to have trouble gaining weight. That is a comment from St. Luke's. The thinking is that he got behind in his nutrition from vomiting, and then his breastfeeding was just so burning so many calories that he could not keep up, so he got behind. Our team is thinking right now that taking breast milk through a bottle is working well, and that's a great place to keep his nutrition up. What a great idea. What a great idea. I have here a comment that I found online from someone who goes by Lance Earl. It says, I have five children. As babies, their size and weight was well below the normal curve. They were breastfed, they had healthy appetites, and they thrived. After a few years, their size and weight reached and remained at normal levels. Cases like this, the baby Cyrus case, affirmed to me that reactionary forces such as Meridian Police may well have deprived us of parental rights because genetics placed our kids below a line on a chart. Yes, because our child is below an average weight, we're going to abscond with your baby. Think about bell curves for a second. You know, a bell curve, you got this high point, that's the average, and then you got 50% above and 50% below. That's why they call it a bell curve. And 50% of the population is above average and 50% are below. Think about IQ, like maybe the IQ of the Meridian Police Force. Are they above or below the national average? We're not sure when it comes to IQ based on their recent behavior. But let's also consider weight. 50% of American children are under average because average is average. And it's the 50% above and the 50% below. Think about that, CPS. Think about that, police. I got another comment here. Listen to this. A dear friend of mine had this condition as a baby. She simply is unable to create and maintain body fat. She's always been very lean. As a baby, her mother and doctor had a relationship of trust and respect and worked through it. And she's now a wonderful mother of four and a grandmother. This is not a condition brought on by neglect and abuse, but a condition brought on by genetics, metabolism, and many other possible biological factors. Speaking generally, these children require great love and support. It's best to treat them with their mother and love them and get them through it emotionally. These children require parents and doctors to maintain a relationship of trust. You cannot assume neglect and abuse on the part of the parent, unquote. This letter goes on and on and on, and they keep asking questions of Dave Jeppesen. Did you want the baby to come to a medical clinic while having cold symptoms during a pandemic when she canceled his daily weigh-in? Great question. Why didn't your agency accept that cancellation as legitimate and bring him in the next morning rather than demand he brought in immediately to the Faces of Hope Victims Center Triage and Support Center? This is the center I was telling you about. The Faces of Hope Victims Center Triage and Support Center. We're going to take this baby to a victim center. No, we're not. Not because the state says so. A daily weigh-in. Gee, we're going to weigh the baby one day late. What's going to happen? There's like 17, 18, 19, 20 questions here posed in this letter. I'm not going to go into all of them. You can find this from the frontline doctors. I'll put a link to this in the show notes. You can go read the letter yourself. Well, today, Mr. Diego Rodriguez has drafted a open letter to the police chief of Meridian and the Ada County Sheriff. And he talks about his grandson being forcibly kidnapped and that the chief of police published a platitude-filled boilerplate response. And I love what he says here, that demonstrate that you are either willfully ignorant of what took place or that you are willfully complicit in their actions. There's no third option. And then he nails Sheriff Matt Clifford, who says, you likewise demonstrated in your response that you either support police officers breaking the law, violating constitutional rights, and acting like belligerent thugs, which they did, or you are simply too lazy to look at the facts and make a reasonable determination. To state that you were confident in the officer's decision-making and that you fully support how they handled the situation tells us that you are just one of the thugs. So here's a couple of points that Diego Rodriguez makes. He makes 5 points. Point one, the premise of the entire kidnapping was to claim that baby Cyrus was in imminent danger. That's a medical expression. It means that the child is at the point of death, imminent danger. And for this reason, the state authorized you guys to forcefully take a child into a possession and put it in the care of a medical professional to ensure its health and safety. However, as we already pointed out, the hospital was ready to turn it over to a foster family that very day. If the baby was in imminent danger, then why did they have a foster family ready to deliver, take the baby that day? Point number two, what logical reason do your officers have to tear a child away from the nursing mother who clearly posed zero threat to the health and welfare of the child? She could have stayed with the baby in the ambulance and in the hospital, but you ripped the child away. That in itself is child endangerment. Please justify that. Point number three, what justification do you have, police officers, for the police officers who repeatedly lied to Marissa on camera and promised her that she would never be separated from her baby and that she would be able to ride with him in the ambulance? Does the Meridian Department and the Ada County Sheriff Department support lying to citizens in order to kidnap children? Great question. Point number four, the sister. He says, my daughter Miranda, not Marissa, Miranda, was clearly assaulted and verbally and physically abused by officers. She was yelled at by a belligerent officer who clearly lacked self-control, agreed, and the ability to de-escalate a situation, agreed, who screamed at my harmless 23-year-old daughter, get your ass out of the car. Rodriguez continues, your ignorant and incompetent officers arrested my daughter Miranda, who is not even the mother of the child. They placed her under arrest for two separate charges, felony injury to a child and falsification to an officer, neither of which she was guilty. She's not the child's mother, and she stated that 3 times. And your obstinate police officers humiliated themselves by arresting the wrong woman and then gave her the charge of restricting and obstruction, which, as everybody knows, is the charge that corrupt police officers use to arrest anybody at any time for any purpose, which I would agree with. Point number five, after my daughter Marissa was removed from the truck, you took Cyrus away temporarily, searched her, patted her down. She didn't have any weapons on her. I understand, standard protocol. I agree with that, wholly acceptable. But do you want your daughters gripped by male officers? They could have easily called for a female officer. They knew they were gonna get the mother. They could have called for a female officer. Nope. Finally, after Marissa had, I'm reading again, Diego Rodriguez here. Finally, after Marissa had Cyrus forcibly ripped out of her hand, she was put in handcuffs, marched out of the ambulance in the cold, where another perverted officer patted her down, groped her, put his hands up her blouse, down her pants, again, all captured on film. Your officers had already patted her down, checked her for weapons. Why would you want to do it a second time in this intrusive and humiliating pat down? I agree. No need to do it. All videotaped. And the sheriff says he fully supported how they handled the situation. Well, they got the court hearing, and some woke judge says, nope, we're going to put the child in child protective service care, state care, foster family. I've got more to say. Before I do, I need to give a shout out to Tom Lopak with Picture Perfect Window Cleaning. This is springtime. You can see out your windows now. Got your curtains open. It's a nice sunny day. You want to get your windows cleaned? You want 10% off your bill? Call Picture Perfect Window Cleaning, Tom Lopak, 208-401-6265. He does window cleaning, screen repair, gutter cleaning, power washing, windowcleaningboise.com is his website. Tom Lopak, give him a call, 208-401-6265. You get 10% off your bill when you mention the True Idaho News podcast. So now I got this letter from Scott Herndon. He posted this online, talking about Child Protective Services and his own situation. And I just want to read a couple paragraphs from you. It's kind of a two-page letter. Again, I will link to it in the notes. He says, here's my own experience. 4 years ago, my then four-year-old had a stroke for which hospitalization was needed. And when the doctors recommended the drug heparin for treatment, my wife and I knew that that drug happened to kill people. And we knew we were going to have to tread very wisely in how we refused that drug. So I asked the doctor two questions. First, would heparin be guaranteed to help my child in his current condition? And two, could it harm my son? His answers, no, it was not guaranteed, and yes, it could harm him. And based on those questions, he declined the treatment. And in the medical reports that he later obtained, he learned that had he not refused in that way, they would have sought legal control of the child through CPS to give the child any drug that they wanted to. That is not how life is supposed to happen. He says, when we left the rehab hospital, a doctor from there called CPS on us anyways due to hospital confusion on how the treatment was going to progress. This resulted in us having to deal with CPS at our home on Thanksgiving Day. CPS comes to his home on Thanksgiving Day. And they got to deal with their child's critical medical situation and CPS in their home on Thanksgiving. Thankfully, Scott Herndon, by the way, is running for state Senate. And I hope he wins against the Democrat who happens to put an R after his name up there in that district number one, I should say. He says, since 2009, I've written five bills that have been run in the Idaho legislature to try to balance the power between parental authority and this bureaucratic state agency called CPS. I'm the only person trying to address the issue legislatively. He says, every one of my five bills were killed, usually in the Idaho Senate, after passing the House. And they were frequently opposed by Idaho Health and Welfare itself, and the Fraternal Order of Police, and the Idaho Sheriff's Association. These people want power. They want power. Where does all this go? Where does all this go? Thankfully, the frontline doctors wrote that article to Dave Jeppesen. And the day after that, baby Cyrus was returned to his parents. You know why? Because it was reported that Cyrus wasn't doing so well without his mom. My theory is the child was taking a turn for the worse. And they go, oh, if we don't get rid of this baby and the baby goes south, we're in heaping big trouble. Either that or this letter from the frontline doctors to Dave Jeppesen at Health and Welfare scared him, because we have now a whole team of doctors coming at him with very strong logical points that Jeppesen couldn't support, because that agency falls under Jeppesen's forte. This, by the way, Jeppesen is appointed, again, by Brad Little. This is another reason we need to get Brad Little out of the governor's chair. He is not good for Idaho. He has been a political crony his whole life. He's an empty suit. I was talking to a lobbyist, actually, who said the guy is 70 years old. He's an empty suit. He's never filled a suit in 70 years. He's not going to start filling one now. The dude does whatever the World Economic Forum and IACI tell him what to do. IACI, by the way, we'll do a whole series on that in an upcoming podcast. IACI, the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry. These guys run the puppet strings for Brad Little. Anyways, I want to go back to this baby Cyrus thing and what's happened with CPS and what happens in our systems when the government gets too strong. Here's an article from Sarah Carter. Eau Claire, Wisconsin, the area school teacher training. Ready for this? On a slide in the teacher training, it says, and I quote, parents are not entitled to know their kids' identities. That knowledge must be earned. Why is that? Because in that school system, they are teaching kids that they can be a different gender. And if you go to your teacher and say, hey, I'm a girl and I want to be a boy, or I'm a boy and I want to be a girl, then they can get a new name and the teacher will refer to them as that new name and they will help them transition, and they won't tell the parents. this is what happens when the state gets too much power and they start disrespecting your rights as a parent. We should be passing legislation that says parents are the primary stakeholders. Let me go on here. We have parents who have sued the Wisconsin School District for letting a girl socially transition to a different gender against her wishes. When the daughter returned to school, the school staff would refer to the daughter using whatever name and pronoun she wanted. But when they talked to the parents, they used the child's real name and real gender. So they were just pulling the wool over the eyes. Here's an article from the Christian Post. Anguished moms detail how gender ideology in schools threatened parents' rights, and it led to a child suicide. Got a mom whose daughter going to the school system says, hey, I want to be a boy, young child, and the school doesn't tell the mom. And they start helping the girl learn about transgender and how to transition. And this girl then gets told, look, if you want, we can take you out of your home and the state will pay for your transition for you. So you don't have to even pay for it. And the principal goes to CPS. And this is all in this article from the Christian Post. The principal goes to CPS and says that the child would be safer outside of the home. So the CPS arranges for the child to be taken away from the parents. And then the child starts getting transition drugs. And the mom has to stand by helplessly as she listens to her daughter's voice get deeper and deeper as they start feeding testosterone to this girl. And the next year, this girl is so confused and so anguished. She stood in front of a moving train coming at her full speed, and they had to pick up the pieces of what was left. Because CPS has way too much control. Here's an article from the Washington Post. Victims of sex trafficking went to a foster facility where they were then trafficked again. This is in Texas. At least one staff member of a Texas foster care facility designed to help young girls who are victims of sex trafficking has been accused of trafficking them all over again, according to state officials and court documents. This is what your state organizations do when there's no check and balance system. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick of Texas has said, everyone is innocent until proven guilty. However, if the charges of abuse against this is true, then those who are guilty should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. To abuse the very children they were paid to protect is an unspeakable crime. These children have suffered enough. To think that they were going to be protected only to find their nightmare was not over is unthinkable. Lieutenant Governor of Texas. You know what? I am disgusted, thoroughly disgusted by our police force in Meridian who just think, I'm not going to investigate the facts. Just going to treat everybody as guilty without finding out what's going on. Like I said, my dad was a cop for 28 years. He never acted like that. You investigate the facts. You look at what's going on. You don't act like a thug. And CPS needs to be reined in. And Dave Jeppesen needs to be shown the exit door, and so does Brad Little. We need some common sense returned to this state. By the way, I also need to give a shout out to Mike Hahn. Mike Hahn is a real estate agent, a broker with Home River Realty since 2005. He will help you with the purchase of your residential or commercial property. He helps you with your goals. He listens. He's very experienced. He's not new in the business. Been doing it for 17 years. So if you're looking for somebody with all that experience, call Mike Hahn at 208-939-9033. That's 208-939-9033. Good guy, Michael Hahn. By the way, he's also running for the House of Representatives in District 20. You might want to give him some support there too. And thank you, Michael, for being a Triple Diamond sponsor to this podcast. We have big news, by the way, happening at True Idaho News. If you would like to get a meet and greet established for a candidate and want to let us know about that, we'll put that on our website. We have a meet and greet section now. We also have an event section. So if you have an event that is liberty-minded in focus, contact us at trueidahonews@protonmail.com. trueidahonews@protonmail.com. let us know about your event. We will post it free of charge and we will link to your registration page. We're trying to do this as a service to get conservatives connected better, because we've got to get these liberals out of our legislature. Most especially Chuck Winder in District 20. This is the guy that thinks it's okay for school libraries to have pornography. This man's got to go. He's grandpa. You talk to him, it's like you're talking to your grandpa. But you know what? He's representing left-wing ideology and he needs to go. He's got an R after his name, but he sure doesn't vote in alignment with the Republican state platform. You've got to get this guy out. The other guy is Greg Cheney. This guy's been in the House. He's a disaster on 2 feet. Statist beyond compare. State total statist. He thinks the state should be in charge of everything. This guy's offered up legislation to take away your rights and take away your rights and take away your rights. He doesn't seem to understand the Constitution either. And so Chris Traikle's running against him. And I would strongly recommend that Chris Traikle be elected over Greg Cheney, because he's also got to leave. Rosa Martinez in District 20, by the way, running against Chuck Missler. You should be supporting her. And by the way, at the state level, we have a school situation happening. We have Debbie Critchfield, who's the second cousin by marriage of House Speaker Scott Bedke. She used to be on Brad Little's State Board of Education. She is a deep state person. She talks a good talk, but she's very much involved in bringing Common Core to Idaho. Did you want someone as a state superintendent of schools who brought Common Core to Idaho, who is so instrumental in that? Is that what you want? I don't think so. We have a different guy, Brandon Durst. And Brandon Durst is going to be our speaker at the April 5th Ada County Liberty Dinner. So if you're in the Treasure Valley of Idaho, I would encourage you to go to trueidahonews.com/events and get some tickets to come see Brandon Durst so you can ask him questions, find out what he stands for. He's a candidate for state superintendent of schools. This event, by the way, is in Boise. It's at Watson's Cafe and Spirits. We're very thankful that they let us have our venue there. They very much support what we're doing. And we have a great meal there. It's a great opportunity to meet and mingle, get some photo ops, but it's also just a great venue. It gets rave reviews from everybody who comes. So if you've not been to one of the previous Ada County Liberty Dinners, do please get some tickets. 5 counties, by the way, in Idaho now have regular Liberty Dinners. And Shadow Trail Media, the parent company for True Idaho News, is hosting them here in Ada County. We're organizing them. So you get food, and then the proceeds go to help conservative candidates get elected. That's going to be key. All right. One more person to acknowledge, by the way, on our Triple Diamond sponsorship. That is Brian Hay of bhconsulting.us. That's bhconsulting.us. He does computer repair. So if you got a business, or if you just got your home situation, your computer needs some work, he does remote support, so you don't even have to live near him. You can give him a call at 208-329-8020. That's 329-8020. And Brian can log into your computer remotely and oftentimes fix the problem that way. So he does software repair, virus removal. He does software updates, system cleaning. If you need computers set up, whether it's one or multiple, he can come out. If you need Wi-Fi work, internet security, VPN access, Brian Hay is your guy. Give Brian a call at 208-329-8020. He also is a Triple Diamond sponsor of True Idaho News. He supports you guys getting truth. So with that, I better wrap this up. You can tell people, by the way, about this podcast. We are on Google Podcast. We're on Anchor, Spotify, Amazon, Rumble, BitChute, iHeartRadio. You can find the True Idaho News podcast. Share with your friends. Let people know about us. I do encourage you to also go to trueidahonews.com and subscribe. It's totally free to do so. With that, each week, you're going to get an email with links to all the stories we put out that week. And of course, I want to encourage you also to register for the April 5th Ada County Liberty Dinner with Brandon Durst. Raul Labrador was originally planned for that date. There was a scheduling mix-up. Raul Labrador has been moved to May 3rd. We have Brandon Durst coming in. They basically just swapped times because Brandon was scheduled for May 3rd. So they just thankfully swapped for us. And we're going to get to hear Brandon tell us what his vision is for Idaho schools. I think you want to be involved in that. We need to support that guy every chance we get to keep our freedoms. This is Daniel Bobinski. I thank you very much for tuning in. The True Idaho News Podcast is copyright 2022 by Shadow Trail Media. We'll catch you next week. Until then, be blessed.
You've been listening to the True Idaho News Podcast. Unfiltered news and opinion for the citizens of Idaho. Get more True News by visiting TrueIdahoNews.com. If you'd like to support this podcast, visit TrueIdahoNews.com/support. Thanks for listening.